We are in Akron, Ohio. We did a press conference at 10 a.m. Eastern to talk about the filing of the lawsuit where Courtney Miller and We the Patriots USA are plaintiffs. And we are headed to East Palestine right now. And we're going to do on-the-ground interviews with my phone and my mic. Hopefully.
So we're just documenting this process of what we are doing for We the Patriots USA. Tammy and I have been in, Arizona for 10 days. This whole thing fueled after the disaster because we were traveling in an airport and we hopped on a Twitter space and our expertise was once again recognized to hold these alphabet agencies accountable. We just wrapped up a press conference in Akron, Ohio. We got completely rained and sleeted on and hailed on. So we're doing what we can. We're roughing it and we're going to be documenting throughout this trip. And the most important thing is to give the voice to the people that are generally being ignored by the very agencies that are designed to protect them. So, Tammy, do you have anything to contribute as I put on my safety seat?
Yeah, we just stopped to change our clothes because we were completely drenched. You should have seen us a little bit ago. Our hair was hair and makeup completely drenched. It's awesome because the rain held off until just the last probably 5 minutes of the press conference. So we were able to get it all out and get it all recorded, even though there were some technical issues because the government doesn't really not want us to be here. And they completely scrambled Kristen's cell service with just a few minutes to go. She completely lost all service.
And we don't have to say that and as an assumption because I had full signal.
Mm-hmm.
I was mic'd up, tripod going, and all of a sudden my internet access, not my reception, my internet access is removed. I could text. I couldn't open any browser. And I had full signal.
And we all had full signal. Kristen's was up and ready to go. And she's been advertising that it's going to become streaming through her podcast. And so with like 4 minutes to go, I quickly had to get the login information to jump on the We the Patriots StreamYard and get logged in. And so we were able to get my phone set up so that it could go live. However, Kristen's mic, because she uses an Android, would not sync with an iPhone. So it's all good. They did not stop us. We still had the press conference and we're still going strong. So we're headed to East Palestine right now. We're going to connect with Courtney, who many of you saw on Tucker Carlson, who is the plaintiff, the main plaintiff right now in the lawsuit against the EPA. And we're going to talk with some of the residents there, get them on record. Then we'll get, things documented as we need to, and we'll follow up with you all.
So stay tuned to the Chronicles of Kristen and Tammy. So we're here on scene in East Palestine. We stopped at a McDonald's to use the restroom and get bottled water. And just being here, we've been here like 15 minutes now, and we went literally maybe 20 yards to McDonald's and back. There's definitely, you can taste metallic. I've heard people say it. Now I'm experiencing it. It's
like the top of our tongues are kind of.
You know what I just said? It's like if you remember those old candies from the 80s that were hard and you bit into them and they fizzed. It's that residual on the back of your tongue. You can you can smell it. We're only here for a few hours, so we are being smart and understanding our dose, but we also needed to be here on the ground to really see what's going on.
Talk to the people, find out what their responses are. We've seen a lot of signs, East Palestine, strong, born here, raised here, staying here, which is really sad because these people love this town. It's a very cute little town. It's very old and historic, but this is home. Many generations of people have lived here and grown up here and they don't want to leave. But we can tell just from a few minutes of being here that our mouths, our tongues.
We're eating a mint to kind of bypass this weird metallic taste.
It's kind of funny. Like I told Kristen, I said, kind of my tongue feels a little numb. I don't know how to explain it.
Okay, so we're here with Courtney Miller on her property. And she was just showing us that 3 weeks after the contamination, after the burn happened, we are still smelling. You can smell and you can see the rainbow sheen. So Courtney, tell us when did you first notice that this was still contaminated and really raised the alarms and reached out for help with this?
I never even knew that it was in there. Actually, I had left whenever they did the controlled explosion right after the derailment. I didn't come back. And then after they did the controlled burn, I came back because everybody was saying, well, the fish in the creek are all dead. Like, everybody's noticing it's all dead. And it happened to be a nice day. It was like almost 70 degrees out. And I was like, well, I have a minnow trap over here. I was like, they can fill me. I'll throw the minnow trap in. I'll pull the minnow trap out there. It was dragging on the bottom when I was pulling it up, and all of this rainbow metallic colored stuff started coming up and swirling up. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to get a hold of that reporter that I was talking to when I threw it in there. We didn't notice it because it hadn't sunk yet and it was dark. So I got a hold of him and I told him, I was like, look, and I threw a rock in there, and that's when the whole video went viral. And they kept saying, oh, you know, we're cleaning it up, we're cleaning it up, whatever. And days went by and I was like, no, this isn't right. They never set foot here. This is the closest to the accident site. This is where they burned it off. You would think that this would have been the first place, but it was like 2.5 weeks later. I finally got somebody to come out, and once the workers started walking up and down, they put blue ribbons on the first time. And then about a week later, they put on these pink ribbons marking the creek up and down, and they told us that it was safe to come back. So I come back, and that's when I found that. And then the next day, I'm like still going through it. I get somebody to come out and test. I put these sponges in there that is supposed to be able to test for dioxins. Well, I left for 3 hours. I came back and I had it tied to a rock in the middle of the creek. It was pulled out and sitting on the side. So then I started watching, and the very next morning, they had people here that put up these hay bales over here, and they put those up, and then they tried to flood the creek while I was trying to get samples. I'm like, I just got samples the day before that, but they were on my property. They were asking me if I was taking, well, they were asking my scientist, Scott Smith, if he was taking samples, and he was like, well, are you taking samples? And she said, I can't answer any of your questions. And he said, well, then I can't answer any of yours. And she's like, well, we need to know who's coming and going here. And he's like, you're standing on private property right now, ma'am. Right. Like, you're in the wrong. And you're demanding answers from me. He's like, the property owner does not want you guys on her property. They didn't ask for permission. They obviously brought trucks in here and was backing them up, because I didn't even have a car until the day after that.
Right.
So I obviously, while I was gone, they were just coming onto my property and just doing as they pleased. And then even when I was here, it didn't seem to bother them either. They were just traipsing all through my yard. Had they asked me, I would have been more inclined to letting them, but they're sneaking and they're doing stuff and they're flooding the creek when I'm trying to take samples. Yeah. Looks awfully shifty.
Yeah, and it's over 3 weeks later and we can smell it. But the smell is very strong. The rainbow sheen, as you can see, is still here in the creek. And supposedly this is being cleaned, but they're not doing proper testing. They're not doing sludge and soil testing. They're only doing surface water testing. And this is the problem.
So, Courtney, my question for you is, when this burn occurred, were you here? Did you go somewhere else? Did you evacuate, like the order? And when you came back, what sort of residuals did you see on the ground or in the air?
It looks like volcanic ash all over people's vehicles that were outside afterwards. I had evacuated, but I only went to Beaver Falls, which is 10 miles away. We still heard the explosion. It was loud, and then we saw the cloud, and it lasted forever. We were driving around, and you could see it for miles and miles away. It was horrible. And when I first came back after the first accident, when the train first derailed, and I came back, this smell in my house was 10 times worse. When I opened it up, like I described, it was like opening up an oven, like the heat, how it hits you in the face. Mm-hmm. That's what the smell did when I opened my door in my house. It was 10 times worse inside than it was outside. And then they came around to test my air. So they were like, well, if that smell comes back, just open your windows to air out your house.
Did they come and do like sampling inside of your home, or was it on your property?
Just the air test inside my home. And then outside,
can you describe the type of instrumentation they had? Like, what did it look like?
It was just like a little handheld computer thing that they just held around and just went in here. Yeah, so there. And then,
how long did they take the sample for?
Oh, they were only here and they did my entire house in like 10 minutes.
Okay.
There's the problem.
So that is called a PID. But what was this community like before this happened? Because that's what we're not hearing about. I've never heard of this place until this disaster.
Everybody, I mean, we're quiet. We keep to ourselves. We're very family oriented. If somebody is in need, like, we jump. That's what we do. We're always there for each other.
To protect you. In the natural elements, folks, it's raining so hard.
Right. And, but I mean, my first year here, me and my husband went through a divorce. So then the following year, like, the money was tight. And I was worried that my kids were going to think that Santa Claus thought that they were bad because I couldn't afford gifts. Mm-hmm. So I reached out to the community and I said, you know, these are my kids' ages. These are their sizes. This is what they like. If anybody could please help me give my kids a Christmas so I don't feel horrible as a mother. They filled my entryway twice over. Oh, I had goodness. So many presents for those kids and probably 10 or 15 more kids. But they came together and they got all of this stuff for my kids. And they were there for me when I asked. And they didn't have to ask because I know that nobody was doing any coverage. Nobody was helping them at all. And I was like, it's not fair that I got out and I got my kids out. Because I have family that live relatively close. And some of them don't. And they don't have anywhere to go. And then how are they supposed to pay for their mortgage and pay for a hotel room and pay for all of the supplies that they need on top of it? Right. And all Norfolk Southern offered us was $1,000 per person.
A little bit.
Right. So I want to ask you, because we can hear the train in the background.
Oh, it'll be coming soon.
The train's going to come by here in just a minute. And you can see Courtney's Creek right in the back here where all this contamination is. You can hear the train coming right behind me. And this hill that you see right behind us is owned by Norfolk Southern, by the railroad. So the train's coming by here in just a minute. And I want to shift.
They used to fly and go like 65 at least. And they're supposed to go slow. Yes. But since this happened, they've been going awfully slow now.
Well, and I want you to tell everybody how far away.
Oh yeah, you can hear it. We can see it.
You can see it.
So let's
see if you can.
I could throw a rock and hit it at this point.
Yeah. So how far away? So come on back in the frame here, right?
Shelter in place.
How far away? So this train obviously is heading in this direction.
Mm-hmm.
And how far away was the actual derailment and the burn from here?
About 100 yards down that way.
So we are right outside of ground zero, basically.
But Courtney lives right in town. I mean, we were just literally just a few blocks away, right downtown. We stopped at a little bakery to talk with the local townsfolk, and we only had to drive about 3 or 4 blocks to get to Courtney's property. So this entire town is only a few blocks, half a mile outside of this burn, and we're not given sufficient notice, and that's the concern. Courtney can see from her house right here the flames shooting up when the cars were derailed. She heard it from her house
above the tree line.
Describe what that was like.
Yeah, I heard that metal on metal screeching. Like, I'm used to hearing this kind of noise all the time.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
And the whistles all the time. But when I heard the metal on metal grinding, and then I heard boom, 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 boom. Like, it was all the cars just hitting in and just jacking up and just looked like an accordion.
Have you talked to people in this community, or maybe for yourself if you don't mind disclosing? I can imagine something like this happening and then your whole life changing in a moment. When you hear that train, does it just kind of hit you almost like a form of PTSD? Does it give you an uneasy feeling?
Oh yeah, I definitely, I'm used to sleeping through them, but now I hear them and I just jump up and I just sit there and just wait until I know that the train's gone to go back to sleep. And sometimes they're going every 5 minutes, depending upon like whatever they have going on. But sometimes they're going slow now. Usually before the derailment, they would fly through there and you could hear them 10 times louder than that.
Yeah.
Well, and Courtney, I also wanted to ask you about the moment you got the text and you were notified, okay, we're going to burn. How much time did you have to get your children to get back into a safe place,
I mean, how much time did you have?
Because I was a resident of East Palestine, my phone got notified at 3 o'clock and saying that they were going to let off this scheduled burn at 3:30. 3:30 rolls around and I'm not here and we don't hear anything, so we just assumed that it had gone off. My friend that I was with, who lives in Beaver County, got the alert at 4:20 saying that they were going to do the scheduled burn. And at 4:25 is when we heard it. Okay. So they gave Beaver County residents, which is only a half of a mile down that way, mm-hmm. closer to the site,
right.
They gave them 5 minutes. But they told us at 3 o'clock that they were lighting it off at 3:30 and we still didn't hear anything. We're like, oh, well, wonder why they sent out an alert and like nothing happened.
Did they tell you what to do during the burn and what to expect? Or did they just inform you, we're burning?
We're burning. That's it.
Oh, no shelter in place instructions?
Yeah. Nothing at all.
Oh my gosh.
Well, and then they told us that it was okay to come back a couple days later and that everything was fine. And that's when I found out.
You went into the water.
And I went into the creek. And I didn't know that, like, I'm like, what's this, like, metallic rainbow stuff in the creek? I'm like, well, they said it's okay to be here, so it can't be that bad. I was like, but this has got to be something. Like, maybe it's just oil. So I went and I got a container and I filled it up. And I was in the creek and my hands and my feet were all in that creek water just a few days after they lit off.
So what Tammy and I have been saying very loudly is the lack of proper risk communication. That is a prime example. Because, and I'm not insulting you,
but
thing is you have to talk to everyone like they're 6 years old. Because not everyone studies this type of contamination like we do.
Like doctors and medical terms.
Exactly, and you cannot assume. And sometimes we read instructions and we're like, that's common sense. Well, it's not sometimes. And if you trust in anybody to tell you, it's safe to go in the water, and now you're in the water doing your own sampling, not understanding the cross-contamination of your clothing and everything, mm-hmm. You're inhaling it, you got the contact hazard. That's why we're here. This is the problem. You were not given the proper risk communication, and it's very simple. Be honest.
There was another guy who came in and was doing testing, and he messaged me this morning asking if he could come on my property to get some samples. He's like, but I think we're done because they haven't even put in a no contact order for that creek. There should be a no contact order in that creek that nobody can touch that. He's he's like, I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
You may not see the immediate health effects, even though some people are. I know I've been coughing. I can taste it. You've unfortunately, I know you've come and gone. You're being safe. But there's people who are here and they become desensitized to these issues.
Right.
So if I was here, when I first got here, I could taste the metal. It was really bad. And then I kind of got used to it and I was coughing. And then when you dredged up the water, again, I can smell it so bad right now. And I wonder if it's also picking stuff off the rail because it's even stronger now. So I worry so much about your home value. I worry about your future. In an instant, everything changed for you and this entire community. But we stopped at a little diner, Sprinkles, I believe. Mm-hmm. And we saw firsthand the unity. And everyone knew everybody. And as unfortunate as this is, you guys are built, I think, to handle this. And you're strong enough to fight for your rights to have everything restored. And if it can't be restored, you need to be properly relocated with proper compensation.
We feel that this town should be abandoned. It should be considered uninhabitable right now.
That's what I told them.
And all of the inhabitants and citizens.
And I don't have the expertise in that.
They should be.
But you can read and you can see.
Yeah.
So.
So thank you for standing up for your community. You're not just standing up for yourself and your children. You are literally standing up and fighting for this whole community. And going.
I got my kids out.
And you did what was right, Mama. You did
I came
right
back
thing.
To help those who can't.
As we told you, we're here in the community where this absolute tragedy had occurred, where the lack of proper risk communication has occurred. But we're not just here to hear all the doom and gloom. One thing we've noticed since we came to this town is how close people are and how everyone is willing to help each other. So I'm sitting here with Nikki and Tammy, and we just wanted to go around and ask some of the citizens in the nearby communities a little bit about the community before the derailment occurred.
I would have to say very carefree.
Yeah?
Yeah. Very chill, relaxed, you know, good old farm country.
It seems like it. The residents here seem very warm.
We stopped at a little bakery called Sprinkles. Yeah. Everybody came up to talk to us and asked who we were and where we were from. Like, clearly we were outsiders. They could tell. So this seems like a pretty close.
Yeah, we had a giant apple fritter. And just so you know, calories do not count when you're on the road investigating corruption.
That's right. That's right. But yeah. It just seems like a really warm community where people were very friendly. And so, you know, we saw so many signs, East Palestine strong, born here, raised here, staying here, which concerned Kristen and I because we didn't really want people staying here. We wanted them to leave where it was safe until proven safe to come back. But that's the town. It seems like this town is a town that can weather something like this together.
I sure hope so.
And I want to say, as we came to your property, and thank you for letting us in your home, we were like, this is such a beautiful property.
Oh, thank you.
Like, it's absolutely beautiful, you know, with all the land grabs going on around this country. My dream is to live on 5 acres and a barn dominium, but, you know, this is beautiful. Your porch is beautiful. So, you know, it is unfortunate that, you know, there's a lot of beautiful homes out here, property, and are you concerned about, like, down the line, if you ever try to sell, like, what this would possibly do to your home values?
I am. I would like to move right now if I could, but I don't think anybody would buy my house.
Yeah, that's one of the issues that I hope happens. I hope that there is, in a perfect world, what your home would appraise for before this happened, and they covered the difference. And I think they should have to cover any relocation costs because, you know, when we came here, you had the cutest little animals. And that's the first thing I think of is, like, these pets, you know. Have you seen any difference in behavior with your animals?
No, luckily not.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many miles are you from where they did the burn?
4.7.
Okay. And, you know, we drove here and we can still smell it and taste it. And like I was explaining to you, is that after a while, like when this first happened, you may have got, you know, lightheadedness, itchy eyes, coughing, tasting metallic on the back of your tongue. But when you stop tasting and smelling that, when new people come in like us and we can still taste and smell it, you've become desensitized. So you know how you feel throughout the year historically. But if you have any signs or symptoms that are outside of what you normally feel seasonally, make sure that you document that. Write a diary, because unfortunately, I think it's going to be quite a while down the road to where the real health impacts are revealed. You know, you guys should have accountability. So I'm just asking all the people in this community to document your symptoms in a diary, because whether it's litigation or just trying to recall this, we tend to forget, you know? Mm-hmm. And but what is your primary concern right now in this moment?
I would say the long-term effects. I feel like I'm slowly being poisoned already. I don't think anybody overnight is going to be like, I'm so sick, you know, but I think it's going to be bad in years to come, and that's really scary.
Well, and I'm curious, did you feel, because you guys are downriver, downstream, and downwind from the burn site, are you feeling any, or did you feel any immediate acute health effects? Or did you notice any symptoms from the burn, the smells, the taste? Were you feeling any effects?
I knew there was a train derailment, and then we didn't know at that time that it was chemicals that were burning. And I went outside in my backyard. There was like a haze, like almost like how you would look over a fire. You saw like the haze. And it smelled like chlorine. It was kind of weird. And at that time, I didn't even know what I was breathing in. And then I would say after that, then I started to feel the effects of like headaches, sore throat, dizziness, real bad dizziness.
Yeah, so there's byproducts from that burn. And that's what we're concerned about, is that everyone's focused on just one specific chemical or a couple. But when, I'm sure maybe if you've watched the news, you've hopefully heard the term about dioxins,
yes,
which stay in the environment for a long time and really start to affect animals first. And it's very hard to clean up an area from dioxin exposure. And they have to understand that the sampling that they're doing cannot be one and done. They have to keep sampling, because you may not know this, but your county has done like soil sampling over the years, or you probably get like an annual water quality report. Mm-hmm. So they have what's called background or baseline sampling. So they need to sample to where they're at that background or near it to show that it, whatever they're doing, it's called verifying the confidence in the remediation efforts. So things that we've witnessed, we know aren't going to work. Like they're trying to really clean off the surface of the water when all the contaminants are in the sediment. So,
right. It's ridiculous, actually. What we just witnessed actually in the creek, just maybe 100 yards from the burn area, they were aerating the water to try to force all the chemicals that have settled in the sludge and at the bottom back to the surface where they can catch it with absorbent material, which is ridiculous.
Perfect. And they're creating another airborne hazard. It was right in our breathing zone. We were like, whew, it was so strong. And this is why we're so upset about the lack of this communication, because, you know, we have a right to be safe and free in this country. And this is something that, you know, sometimes we can't avoid accidents. It's just like in life, we make mistakes. I always say it's what we do about those mistakes that matter. But when they start telling people to come back 2 days after this massive exposure, I knew something was wrong. So that's why we wanted to come here. And sorry, I'm not doing this for theatrics. I'm still, as someone who came from a clean area to here, like I can feel it. I was telling you earlier, it reminds me of those candies that are hard and you bite into them and they fizz and it just kind of makes you cough.
Yeah. Well, in our tongues, we were only outside for 15 minutes and we're both like, does your tongue feel tingly? It's kind of a numb, weird, and we can feel, it's like the first thing I noticed was I feel like there's metal, like a metallic taste in my mouth. We are beyond concerned and we just want to help to give you a voice. The people here, because there is a lot of recompense that the government needs to be accountable for with the EPA's intentional mishandling, intentional improper sampling, trying to get the numbers that they want to be able to get trains moving and people back in town and everything to just be fine. Well, it doesn't work that way. And that is egregious. It's mass criminal negligence. And that's what we're here to expose.
And so I guess in just closing this out, we don't want to take up too much of your time. And again, we thank you for welcoming two strangers into your home.
Thank you. Yes.
We haven't taken our organs, folks. What is the message that you want the rest of the country to hear? If you could just share one note, expression, emotion with the nation, what would that be?
Help. Help us.
Well, again, you know, I don't want this to be political, but the realization is every time I go on Twitter, our government is giving money to another foreign entity. Does the community, I just saw today, $444 million is being sent to Yemen. Right. And I just feel like when we're on the aircraft, it tells us, you know, we can't take care of others until we've taken care of ourselves with the oxygen masks. Does that bother you? I know we have humanitarian efforts in our government, but I mean, what about the people here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm tearing up right now.
Let your emotions fly. Like, this has disrupted a lot of lives, and everything was fine. And then, I mean, no pun intended, but your whole life is derailed. And
it's true.
You have the right to your emotions. I mean, I'm a mom, and I just, you know, we're dedicating our time to this to give you guys a voice. And
I'm a mom too, and I'm just so scared for my daughter that she's not going to be able to have babies now. Everything else.
How old is your daughter?
She's 16.
Well, I can tell you, I am an exposure scientist. It would take a while for this to affect, you know, that, you know, fertility. But if you, just to be completely honest with you, if you can find somewhere else to go long term, those dioxins that are in your beautiful property. I know if this was my property, I would want to leave. And I know that that's not easy, but the fact that you're thinking that just shows, so I'm getting emotional, what a mama bear you are. Right. And just know the best thing that you can do until, if you can or cannot leave, is try as much as you can in between employment or whatever, your normal life. Leave the area just for, you know, go to a different town for the day, and just, you really got to find some fresh air, because there's things you can install in your home, but the problem is it's hard to control a hazard when we don't really know what the hazard is. And that's the problem.
Right.
And what you guys can do is just peacefully advocate for yourselves, like meeting people like us, getting on social media, explaining, and again, documenting every day. Because what I can tell you is these contaminants that we do know can affect the liver, and they can affect the central nervous system, even causing like mental health issues. So you know, I don't like to just showcase the problems. We like to provide solutions, and that's why we're here. And this fix is not going to happen overnight.
And we're trying to demand accountability from our government because, listen, if we can bring hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants across our border, house them, shelter them, feed them, clothe them, give them free college, how much more don't citizens like you deserve? Tax-paying citizens from our own government. That's really what we're trying to bring about change in Congress, to defund these agencies, to privatize these agencies that are actually harming the American people and the environment that they were actually created to protect. So now we are at great risk because of these agencies that are not only not protecting us, but they are causing harm. And they owe the citizens of this country, first and foremost, protection and communication, information. And that's what we're here to do, to advocate for you guys and demand from our agencies, from our government, what they should be doing.
But you have a few fireballs here in your community here, and not afraid to go on the media and really expose what's happening. But again, you just sitting down with us, this message will go far. So I want to thank you very much, Nikki, for allowing us in your home, which is beautiful. I know you can't see it, but she's got these plants all over, and it just, this is very, it's a very cozy environment. So thank I want to thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Dream.